yeah, do it again. give it about 5 minutes, and I go do one more, which is going to be really good. It's going to be really good. I'm telling you, look, on Wednesday night, we went and hung out with a bunch of ladies in prison. We did. We went worship with them, and I can tell you this, they were faster on their feet than you were. They were faster, they were quicker on their feet than you were. When they got to fall on your knees, them ladies were up. They were up. I mean, maybe by the bottom, it just takes you people longer. I think because they know they're in prison. And sometimes you lull yourself to sleep as if you're not. Because we're distracted, aren't we? We're distracted with all this stuff, right? Yeah? We're distracted with all these things we got going on. We got kids in here and it's not normal. We're like, you know, what are we going to do? Hey, by the way, when you have Christmas at your house, all right, we have Christmas at my mom and dad's, we set up card tables, right? Yeah? And we put up the little chairs and that's where the big kids sit. Amen? Yeah, you know, and we put a card table like in the hallway and things like that. Hey, look, Christmas Eve, that's what we're doing in church, all right? Because we want to worship together. So, hey, if you have a child that may be making a little bit of noise, I want you to know it doesn't bother me at all. Doesn't bother me at all. I actually like it because it means that they're getting to hear the word today. Amen? So if you have a Bible, open with me to Isaiah chapter 9. This is not your classic Christmas text. That was last week, Luke chapter 2. If you want to listen to it, they give you something to do when you're bored listening to somebody you don't like at your house at Christmas. All right, so just pull it up and listen to Luke chapter 2. But Isaiah chapter 9, we're going to start in verse 1. And this is honestly probably the most pointing towards Jesus text in the Old Testament. Okay, Isaiah chapter 9, just a little bit of a foretaste of what we're going to do next year starting January 7 as we beeline in 2018 all the way through the Old Testament. We're going to truck through it as we get to Jesus. So Isaiah chapter 9, if you're able, stand with me in honor of reading God's word. Isaiah chapter 9, starting in verse 1. But there will be no what? Gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun. That's God. Brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of, say this word, it's just fun. Go ahead. Naphtali. Amen. Man, you guys are impressive, man. Wow, that was a harder word than most of the time we make you say in church. But in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the what? What's that word there? Nations. How many people's translation says Gentiles there? All right. Guess what? That's good news if you're a Gentile. All right. Like this text is such good news for those of us who aren't Jewish. It's sort of good news for the Jews, but they got a little bit of bad news and good news here. But for those of us who are Gentiles, it's like good news. All right. So here we go. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great what? Light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them light has shone. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its what?
Joy.
They rejoice before you as with a joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder and the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the tramping warrior in battle tumult, and every garment rolled in blood. Doesn't that sound fun, kids? Everybody go, ew. Ew, yeah, yeah. Will be burned for fuel or as fuel for the fire. God's saying, I am going to take care of all of this with verse 6. Look what he says. For unto us a child is what? Born. Unto us a son is what? There's a difference there in those two words. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called what? Oh, come on. Yeah, come on. What is it? What is it really? Not wonderful. What is it? Come on.
Wonderful.
Wonderful. Yeah, counselor, right? Let's say it together. Wonderful. Counselor. Mighty God. Everlasting Father. Prince of Peace. Isn't that more fun to say it that way? Then why say it boring? Anyway, all right, we'll keep going. We're going to make you people more like the ladies in prison if we can. All right. Verse 7, of the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. Then listen to this last sentence. The what of the Lord? The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. So tell me, are we supposed to be zealous for the Lord like him?
Yes.
Okay, gracious, we got help. Are we supposed to be zealous for the Lord like him?
Yes,
yes we are. Because what accomplished Jesus coming as a baby in a manger? It was the zeal of the Lord of hosts. Ah! Let's pray. That's so good. God, we love you. We thank you for your word. Lord, help us not to read it like we've read it 1,000 times and this is just habit. But God, help us to read it as if, God, you're speaking to us for the first time. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. What are you zealous for? God, you're zealous for the holiness of God. You are zealous for your people. You are zealous for families. God, you are zealous, God, for people who are walking in sin, God, to turn from their sin and turn towards the Savior. You are zealous. That zeal will do this. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Go ahead and have a seat just for a few moments, and then the choir's going to sing one more song for us called Gloria. But I want you to see one thing. God's call, part one of this, pull out your bulletin, flip it over real quick. We're going to look at this. God's call interrupts. All right, so just like you're going to hear some things in the service, you're like, man, that's kind of an interruption. I don't know that I like that today. All right, God's call interrupts. That's just the same. Zechariah, he was in the temple performing his routine duties, and the call of God interrupted his routine duties because what God had to say was more important than his routine duty at that time. He was called to prepare. We looked at that 4 weeks ago. All right, then the call for Mary. God's call interrupted Mary's normal Jewish engagement. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad she just didn't get her normal engagement with her wedding? She wasn't bridezilla when things changed. Okay? I mean, she wasn't. That might be a word for some of you getting married this year. I just let it be a word to you. Amen? All right, and mothers, help them, okay? They need it. All right, and husbands, you just keep your mouth shut. All right, and you lead well by prayer, okay? Lead well by prayer. All right, so Joseph, all right, Joseph, God's call to interrupt. God interrupted his plan of a quiet night's sleep and his plan to quietly divorce her. God interrupted that. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? God called him to protect the shepherds. They were having a sleepy night watching some sheep. They were just kind of, they were ready to kind of nod off a little bit. And God's call interrupted them. He invited them to praise God with the heavenly hosts. Wow. His call interrupts. And here's the call for you and me today. God's call interrupts our normal, sinful, ordinary lives. His call is a call of salvation and repentance, or his call, if you're already saved, is a call of repentance and going with him. It's that simple. Everything you read in the Bible, that's the call. It's either a call if you're unsaved to be saved and repent, or if you are saved to repent from following after the things of this world and follow hard after him. It's so simple. Two very clear callings. So Christmas, hear me, Christmas is all about, it's all about God giving light to darkness. That's what Christmas is about. It's God giving light to darkness. That's why everybody puts lights on their houses. We have people in this that are on the Tacky Christmas Light Tour. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for them. They're awesome. Yeah, they're on the Tacky Christmas Light Tour. And there's not just one of them. There's at least two that I know of that are members of this church. I'm like, that's cool. We got two people on the Tacky Light Tour. Amen. Why are they doing that? Here, if you go to their homes, if you go to their homes, it is all about pointing to the Savior. All of it is about pointing to the Savior. I'm so thankful for things like that. Christmas is about light coming to the darkness. Isaiah 9:2, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great, what? Light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them as light has shone. The people walked in darkness and God's call interrupted the darkness. And God used two babies and he used six names to do it, all right? So here's the deal, what's your name? All right, anybody who's seen Descendants 2, all right? What's my name? Uma, say it loud. All right, so what's your name, all right? What's your name? I know. Yeah, I did. I know. I'll pay for it later. Anyway, names are important. Yes, the name your mama gave you and your daddy gave you is important to you. What if my parents had called me Jim Carrey? It'd be a different church, wouldn't it? Yeah. You know, what if my parents had named me Adolf Hitler? It'd be a different church, wouldn't it? Names mean something. They carry weight. They carry meaning. Everyone in this room loves to hear their name. And certainly around the tree, you love it when your name's written on the box, don't you? I love it when my name's written on the box, and I like it when the box is big. And I like it when my name's written big on it. I do. I love it. It's like, that's mine. Don't open my present. You know, I love presents. I do. Names have different meanings. We named our oldest son Elijah, all right? That means my God is Yahweh. That's why we named him that name. I thought, what a cool thing for my first kid. Every time we say his name, it means my God is Yahweh. Eli, Elijah, my God is Yahweh. Isaac, we named him Laughter, all right? Because we found out we were pregnant with him when Eli was 6 months old. We laughed. We laughed. I laughed, my wife cried, but we laughed, you know? It was good. It was good. Isaac, we love you. You know that, right? All right, cool. And so he's sitting there like, don't talk about me anymore. Move on. Anyway, so Samuel, we named Samuel Samuel because God has heard. All right, we love Samuel. God heard our prayer. We were praying for a girl. We got Sam. Amen. All right. And so, all right, and then Esther, her name means star. We named her, right? Anyway, if you haven't seen Facebook, she got a mic for Christmas. It was bad. Anyway, so Anna, just fair warning in 10 years. Fair warning in 10 years. All I'm just saying. All right, our daughter Anna, okay, favor, grace, and beauty. That's why we named her that, because we wanted God to bring favor to a broken life that thus far. Isaiah, his name means, this is so great, Isaiah means Yahweh is salvation. That's what we just read from. God is salvation. That's what we read Isaiah chapter 9. So how about this one? Maher Shalal Hashbaz. Anybody ever heard that name before? Probably not one you picked to give your kid. Maher Shalal Hashbaz. Kids, say it with me. Maher Shalal Hashbaz. Yeah, yeah. All right. It sounds like a fun name. This is what it means. Speed to the spoil. Like the meat decays fast to the point you can't eat it. Like I opened the fridge yesterday, my wife all day walked around, something stinks in this house, something stinks in this house. And I was like, no, it doesn't. You just smell weird, woman, you know? And then I was like, you know, you just have sensitive nose, you know? And then I realized that there was a little thing of something in the back of the fridge that really stunk, you know? And then I had to repent. Honey, you're right. I'm sorry I said what I said. That was bad, you know? She doesn't always like my sarcasm. Anyway, so anyway. That's what his name means. Speed to the spoil, haste to the prey. His name emphasized the coming ruin of Syria and Israel. That was actually part one of a two-part prophecy in Isaiah chapter 8. We read the second part at Christmas because it's pretty. But if you go back and read Isaiah 8, we won't do it today, but maybe for fun, around the tree, read Isaiah 8. And it's Israel had hitched their wagon to Syria rather than hitching their wagon to the God of the universe. Anybody in this room hitched their wagon to the wrong thing before? You know what I'm saying? I have. I've hitched my wagon to the wrong thing. And there was two parts of the prophecy. The first part wasn't good. Israel's going to suffer. Speed to the spoil. This first child. But the second child, man, his name is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Second child, he gets the five names. Don't you like those names better? But here's the deal, folks. When you and I sin, God's not like Zeus up there, like striking us with a bolt of lightning. God simply just turns us over to our sin. That's all he did with Israel. All he did with Israel is he just simply turned Israel over to their sin. But then he said, I'm not going to leave you there. I'm going to deliver you, because he's a gracious God, a loving God, a God who is willing to jump in our mess with us. We talked last week about how our God is a coming down kind of God, a coming over kind of God. It's why we fall on our knees on the night divine, because we realize we deserve to be turned over to our sin, but because he's a good God, light has come to our darkness. Isn't that good? So really quickly, I want you to see just a few things. Christmas is about God giving his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life, right? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever should believe in him should not, what? Perish, but have everlasting life. Listen to verse 17. For God did not send his son in the world to condemn the world. That was Mahashalabash, whatever his name is, okay? All right, but this guy, all right, Jesus, that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. If you're in church today and you think we're going to condemn you, we're not. If you're here because your family invited you over and over again, you're just doing them a favor, listen to me. You're here on purpose because God has a message for you. He doesn't condemn you. He condemns your sin, but he doesn't condemn you. He doesn't. That's the best Christmas gift of all. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe in him, listen, here's the bad news, is condemned already. Why? Because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. That's why names are so important. Names are so important. And this is the judgment, that light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light because their works are evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. So here's the deal. The darkness is always interrupted when Christ comes by light. The darkness is interrupted by light. Jesus spoke to them. He said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. John 8:12. Part one for us, Christmas is about God giving light into darkness. Christmas is about God giving his one and only son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The darkness, folks, is interrupted by light, and I am so glad. And the invitation is don't run towards the darkness, run towards the light. It's going to be uncomfortable. Can I say that? Like, you're going to be exposed, but if you're not, you're not saved. But once you're exposed, you're saved. And here's the good news. Every last one of us in here have been exposed. He outed us on the cross. Like, he already outed us. Why hide? It makes no sense. So yeah, I'm imploring you. Like, you're really doing this on Christmas Eve? You better believe it. There's not a better day. Won't you trust Christ today? Like, won't you trust him today? And if you've trusted him, and here's what we're going to do now. We're going to watch a quick video, and then we're going to give back to the Lord. How will you and I, if you're shaking your head at me going, I've received the light, Pastor, I'm there. How will you and I share the light that God has interrupted our darkness with? How are you and I going to share the light that God has given us that interrupted our darkness? So we're going to give back today to the Lord. Financially, that's today. Every bit of our offering is going to go to the nations. It's going toward the Acts 1:8 missions offering so that we can see the gospel go further than what we do. Aren't you glad that his love sings over us? His love, it says that, the Bible says that he rejoices over us with singing. Like, I don't understand why he sings over us, but I'm really glad that he does. So that first name, you remember it? Anybody? Mahashalalbalchbaz, yeah. Can't even say it right. The second, though, the names are Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So if you were to get a phone call, I were to get a phone call, someone were to call right now and I would answer the phone, I would say hello, and they say, hi, Derek, this is, and then they would identify themselves, right? And when God calls you and me, he identifies himself. When God calls, God identifies himself as Jesus. When he called you and me, he called us and identified himself as Jesus, and he used five names, Isaiah says, to do so, and how he identified himself. The first one is this. He identified himself as wonderful. Wonderful. He identified himself as wonderful to take care of the dullness of life. Folks, life is boring without Jesus. And shame on the church for so long acting dull as if we don't have a wonderful Savior. The most fun people in the world are Christ followers. I promise you, the most fun that you will ever, ever, ever have is not with a bottle. It's not with some drug. It's not doing something you're not supposed to do, because once that rush is over, the weight of sin comes crashing down. Hear me loud and clear. Hear me. The most wonderful thing in the world is Jesus. Jesus is wonderful. He went to a wedding. It was a boring wedding until he turned the water into wine. It was ordinary water, ordinary servants, ordinary stone jars, and then the extraordinary one told them to do something, and it was wonderful, wasn't it? Group of fishermen just doing their job. Ordinary day, ordinary stuff, ordinary boat, and then the extraordinary one stepped in, told them to do something, and you had a boat full of fish, and the boat could barely, was just sagging in the water. Extraordinary, wonderful, right? Wonderful takes care, the name wonderful takes care of the dullness of life. You and I would do well this Christmas with our families and kids, listen to me, you would do well to sit around and just talk about how wonderful Jesus is. Go back and look through church history just for fun, actually world history, and see the things that have been created because of the wonderfulness of Jesus. All these great wonders that we have in the world are pointing us to Christ. People who've lived a long life said, you know what, there's nothing better than Jesus. Wonderful. Second thing, his name Counselor takes care of the decisions of life. There are big decisions we all have to make, and for some reason in America, we've decided that between the ages of 15 and 22, you got to make all of them. By the way, that's just a false lie. You make decisions every day. Every day. Some decisions we make have lasting impact. But the Counselor, King Jesus, takes care of the decisions of life. Wonderful takes care of our dullness. Counselor takes care of the decisions of life. Here's why he's qualified to be your counselor. He is the eternal God. He's also man. He loves you. He encourages us. He is patient with us. He knows our hearts, and he prays for us. I know of no other counselor that does all that for me. Hey, I'll be honest with you. Pastors don't even do that much. The first two we're not even qualified for, other than being men. But Jesus, why he's qualified to be a counselor? He is the eternal God with whom dwells the fullness of God. Jesus is the only counselor who can take care of the decisions of life. Third thing, his name is Mighty God. Mighty God takes care of the demands of life. Mighty God takes care of the demands of life. And here's the amazing part. For world history, really quickly, first there was man-made power, manpower just with his back. Then there was horsepower. Then there was steam power. And now we have atomic power and nuclear power. But here's the crazy part. Man is able to harness the powers of the universe, even in a small little thing like this and these little phones that we mess with. We have this power in our hands with all this information. Now they say we have information power. The crazy part is man has all this power to harness, but he can't control himself still. You need a mighty God to take care of the demands of life. Psalm 24, part of our habit of reading the Psalms, Psalm 24 at the end of it says, lift up your heads, O you ancient gate, lift up your heads, cast your eyes on Christ, because the Holy One, Almighty God, he's coming. He is the King of glory. Fourth name, Everlasting Father. The Everlasting Father takes care of the dimensions of life. Those of you who are my sci-fi friends in the room, Jesus is cooler than Star Wars. All right? They got the idea from somewhere. All right? All my Matrix friends in the room, Jesus is cooler than the Matrix. Okay? All this talk of dimensions and things that we get interested in, all you gamers in the room, I was making pottery the other day with my kids. I was checking out. The lady behind me goes, are you a gamer? I'm like, what? You know? And she's like, you just look familiar, like one of the avatars that I play with. And I'm like, really? Awesome. Cool. Yeah, I mean, that's great. No, I'm not. You know, it's like, not that I don't mind games, but She was super interested in the dimensions of life. And we check out on things all the time because we're interested in these other dimensions. And hear me, God already took you to a new dimension by cracking eternity and sending the eternal one to show you what another dimension's really like. You think I'm playing like fairy tales here, guys? He's the eternal one. Listen, I read this week by Warren Wiersbe, and he said this. Oh, good gracious. Jesus came to earth to reveal eternity, and he died that we might share eternal life. Sin is the only obstacle to experiencing eternal life, to experiencing the other dimension. We were created in the image of God, and there is a hunger in us for eternity in our hearts. But until we do something about our sin, we will never share in his eternal life. Our birth into eternal life required his death. That's why he is the everlasting Father. John 14:20 says this, "In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." And then the fifth name, the last one, is Prince of what? Peace. The Prince of Peace takes care of the disturbances of life. I'm so glad at Christmas time we're talking about interruption and disturbances. I have probably been more disturbed in some things in my life in the last month than I've ever been. Just with some relationship and things that I'm trying to pray for and encourage and things like I've been disturbed. Does that make sense? But I'm so glad that the Prince of Peace has given and spoken peace. We long for lasting peace within. We would give anything for the secret of poise and confidence in a threatening world. And Jesus Christ is that answer and poise. He is the Prince of Peace. Jesus' life and the disturbances that Jesus endured were far from peaceful. Think about all the things that Jesus dealt with. Far from peaceful. However, in each one of these disturbances, Jesus was at peace and he offered peace freely to anyone who would take it. Jesus could bring peace because Jesus was peace. You cannot separate peace and character. See, a lot of times we want peace without the character. And you can't have peace without his character. John 14:22, Judas said this. This wasn't Judas Iscariot, different Judas. He said, "Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not the world?" And Jesus answered him. He said, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you, that while I'm still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I've said to you." And then he said this in verse 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you." And then he says, "Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." The important part about the second part of Isaiah's prophecy in Isaiah chapter 9 is the name of Jesus. So the question for you and me is, what is your name? The name of Jesus replaces our name. Jesus replaces our shamed name. Jesus replaces our verdict of sin. So here's the deal. It's not enough for us to trust Jesus Christ as Savior from sin. Although that is certainly the beginning of his reign in our lives, we have to surrender our all to him and let him be Lord of our lives. And I'll share this quick story and then we're done. My daughter at night when we pray, for a long time she would pray like this, "God, thank you so much for dying on the cross and raising from the dead and saving our sins." And that's how she was done praying. And I let her pray because in the innocence of her heart, that's how she formed her words to the Lord. But as she got a little bit older and she began to understand things, I stopped her one night. I said, "Sweetie, I love you. But all you're thanking God for, he doesn't save your sins. Your sins aren't going to heaven. You're going to heaven." So we just changed the way we prayed. "God, thank you for dying on the cross and raising from the dead to save me from my sins." See, a lot of times we think God's just here to come. He sent Jesus to come and take all our sins away. Jesus came to rescue you. Jesus came to rescue me. He came to rescue us. So that's why he deserves all of our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength. He didn't come just to deal with your sin. He came to deal with you. He came to deal with me. And the simple thing for us, all we have to do is respond to him in loving repentance and say, God, I receive this gift of salvation. And you don't come just to rescue my sins. You come to rescue me. Would you stand with me and let's pray. Father, today, Lord, this Christmas, the best gift we could possibly give is the best gift we could possibly receive. And that's the gift of salvation. So, Lord, today, Lord, I pray, King Jesus, that we would surrender our lives to you, King Jesus. Lord, I thank you, God, for the families in this room. I thank you for the way they are trusting you just to hear the word of the Lord this morning. And Lord, this Christmas Eve, God, I pray that we would surrender our hearts to you. Lord, if there's anyone in this room that doesn't trust you as their Lord and Savior, I pray they would do so today. They would simply say, God, I know that you are holy and that you sent your Son to die on a cross for me, a sinner, and that you rose from the dead and purchased a place for me in heaven. God, I surrender my life to you. King Jesus, Lord, we thank you for the salvation that you offer. Lord, today, God, we could join this fellowship, God. Lord, we can just spend some time quietly repenting to you, saying, God, I have missed the wonder of salvation this Christmas. Lord, would you help restore the joy of our salvation, God, as we sing this song back to you. We pray these things in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus. Amen.